Worshipful brethren, brethren all, welcome to Freemasonry in 7 minutes or less. In this episode, we'll be asking, where did the first Grandmasters come from? Well, the simple, short and facetious answer to this question would be London, but this deprives us of any context and any further threads. We know the locations of the first meetings and the dates, so what more can you tell us, Brother Earnshaw?
Well, we have to remember that London in the early 1700s was actually a really small place with about 500,000 residents. And I used to live in London, and I didn't realize that actually London is actually two cities. We have the City of London, where the trading and the mercantile activities took place, and we have the City of Westminster, where the king had his palace and where the aristocracy lived. And the distance between the two was about 4 miles. But over the last 300 years, of course, it's been built up. And a visitor going to London now only sees it as one big city.
Yes, very true. When you think of contemporary London, we just think of the greater metropolitan area, not the two historical cities. But as Westminster was where the king resided, what would be the importance of this, do you think?
Right. So the City of Westminster, there were probably only about 100,000 people. And most of these people, like 70% of that 100,000, were domestic staff, such as maids and butlers. So the number of rich people in the City of Westminster at the time would have been about 30,000. And of course, among this number of 30,000, there were professionals such as teachers, lawyers, military officers, and the aristocracy. So my point is that it was a small circle of people, and many of them knew each other. And of course, many of them were members of the Royal Society, which had a membership of about 200 fellows.
Yes, I see the Royal Society being located in Westminster as being the most important, as the institution has arguably had the greatest effect upon the country of any institution that we've had. And it also served as a vehicle for the worldwide promulgation of Enlightenment values and the advancement of science. We know that the early lodge members included Royal Society members, so who would have known who?
So the first Grand Master of the Premier Grand Lodge, which later became the Grand Lodge of England, was Anthony Sayer. He was the master at an operative lodge, the Apple Tree Lodge. The second Grand Master was George Payne, and he actually served twice. He was the secretary at the tax office, a very important office for the king, because the king received money for his court, the people he employed, directly from the tax office. The third Grand Master was secretary to Isaac Newton at the Royal Society. This is, of course, John de Sagulier. And here we have another of those interesting connections, because Newton was also Master of the Mint, which is part of Her Majesty's Exchequer. In America, this is called the Department of the Treasury. In the Exchequer, not only have the Mint, but it also have the tax office. And obviously, it was not a very large organization. So Isaac Newton would definitely have known George Payne.
Any Mason worth their salt knows of de Sagulier and his relation to Newton. And I think this may reveal the aims of the society, that being to reconcile science and spirituality and thus provide Enlightenment-era England with a new faith that could be spread throughout the world, a faith in reason. So if this is the case, where do the spiritual elements come from, do you think?
So I believe that Payne and de Sagulier came across a unique ritual that taught a person how he could experience immortality without experiencing death at the same time. Kind of important caveat. The Gospel of Thomas also teaches this, but it wasn't found until 1945 at Nag Hammadi in Egypt. So Payne and de Sagulier, they needed a vehicle to teach this new ritual, and they decided that operative masonry was the best fit. And so guided, I believe they were guided by their colleague and mentor, Isaac Newton, and this led them to rewrite the 3 degrees to incorporate alchemy, and the rest is history.
Yeah, so scholars have speculated that the Gospel of Thomas was buried in a response to a letter from Bishop Athanasius declaring a strict canon on Christian scripture, so it makes sense that the secret may be hidden in Freemasonry.
Right.
I agree with the Newtonian alchemical hypothesis, as not only did he write over 1 million words on alchemy, which isn't very well known, I'm pretty sure that it's Newton on the right of the person handing the constitutions to the king in the frontispiece of the 1738 constitutions, as if to say this has been gifted from Albion's messiah of science himself, Isaac Newton.
Right. So the first three grand masters were not so much appointed as they actually appointed themselves. However, it's important to remember that they knew that they were only caretakers, because they wrote in the Constitution of 1723 that they wanted a noble brother at the head of the organization. And then in 1721, they found the Duke of Montague.
Excellent. Thank you for that, Christopher. Well, this brings this episode to a close. If you have any questions, please email on the link below. We now part on the square and we will meet soon. Thank you and goodbye.
Goodbye.